All right, everybody, welcome to the latest, the greatest. Well, they're all great, but I'm particularly enjoying what we're about to see here because we're going to be plugging some plug fests. Thank you for watching the SNIA Experts on Data podcast. My name is Eric Wright. I'm the lucky co-host of all this, along with my SNIA rep here today, Michael Horde. So Michael is going to lead us through what we're talking about with what's coming up. We've got PlugFest around object storage. There's a lot of really great stuff, and we got three other amazing humans joining us for the call today. So I'm just going to do a quick round to get everybody to do a quick introduction. Michael, I'll start with you since I already called you out.
Sure. Hi, this is Michael Horde, and I'm the chair for the SNIA Cloud Storage Technology, or CST, community. And we have a couple different activities going on. One is educational webinars, and please check those out. We've got several on agentic AI. And we the topic for today is the PlugFest, and that's a community-driven effort to promote interoperability. And most of our focus is on S3, which we'll get into that detail. The last activity is the cloud object storage test tools. And that's a technical working group. And we're finishing a white paper right now. So we're going to publish that soon. And that's for the purpose of creating open source test suites that we'll make available through GitHub at SNIA, and that's to drive interoperability automation. So pretty cool stuff. Thank you.
Yes. You had me at interoperability. Next one in my round here, I'm going to go counterclockwise. Mark, if you want to introduce yourself, and then we'll make our way around the rest of the crew as well.
Sure. My name is Mark Trin. I'm part of Oracle. I've been with Oracle for about 10 years now. I'm pretty excited about this because PlugFest, we just recently joined almost a year ago, and we've been getting a lot of benefits from being a part of PlugFest. So I'm excited to talk about some of the things that we've been working on in with PlugFest.
My favorite thing to plug is PlugFest. Jason, next up.
Yeah, I'm Jason Swick. So I'm a senior director of engineering at DDN for DDN Infinia. This is also great for us because we're a new product and the PlugFest gives us some early access to do some testing. So we're super excited about it.
And Veer, last but very certainly not least, tell us about yourself and where we can find you for connecting online.
Yeah, so this is Veer. I work with Nutanix. I'm part of objects team. Mostly working in replication area. This is first time we are participating in PlugFest, and we had a lot of learning, which we'd like to share.
Excellent. Well, like I said, one of the things that I love about SNIA as a technology and a human community is the engagement you can have with peers, because as much as we're kind of single tracked inside our own organizations doing, you know, we're innovating as best we can with the tools and teams we've got, what is incredible is that looking at the standards driven and kind of this community, broad community driven approach where we can all learn from each other, because effectively we're all consuming each other's resources and we're no longer the single source of anything in any organization. So the fact that SNIA gave us a place to innovate internally with an external focus so that we can say, hey, this is what we're doing. And I've seen the successes of this kind of collaboration. So Michael, do you want to give a quick rundown on what is the PlugFest series? Like, and yeah, you know, why should companies get on in? Because this is a pretty fantastic way to meet some amazing people.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll just have a brief statement. So we really created the PlugFest as a means for developers to get together. Previously, there had not been any forum within the industry that addresses this. And so we were meeting the need for just getting together and doing tests. There's no other organization in the world that does that right now. And so some of the benefits are the time to fix bugs. In the PlugFest, you have the peers working together directly, and so they're sitting at a table or online, a virtual table, and you get immediate response to not only find bugs, but then the collaboration that is required to do troubleshooting, getting traces, and then different, you know, dumps of the intermediate data out of testing, journaling. But then the contrast is that you would spend weeks, if not months, trying to find your peer in the industry. And often the support teams will not allow engineers to talk to each other. And so it's not only next to impossible, but, you know, the rate of bug resolution is just minimal without this kind of activity. And but we're delighted to have the history we have now. It's our first PlugFest was in September of 24, and that was in person at SDC 24. We had another one April of last year, 25, then another face-to-face in September for SDC 25. Now what we're doing is online PlugFest. So we're doing three of those. We had one in February. We have one, another one in May and another in July. Then, and those are virtual. And that's really to speed up the cadence of the activity. And again, this is all member driven. So it's really up to the community to, you know, sit at the table, figure out what do we want to test? What is the key area that's missing or a pain point? And it's all member driven. And so then we'll, at the end of this year, we'll also have the in-person SDC 26. So that's kind of a thumbnail of what we're up to.
Well, the good thing is the, you know, you talked about this idea of what we get together virtually and in person. So it's a good combination. You know, I remember years ago, I worked at another organization. This is, gosh, it's got to be like almost 10 years ago at this point. And I'd heard about this. Like, I got asked, you know, I was on the marketing team and they said, you know, an engineer came to me and said, hey, can we host this thing called a PlugFest? I was like, sure, what is it? was back, you know, around SMIS kind of controls. I was working at an organization and we were doing optimizations for everything across the full stack. And I just said, this is amazing. So we're going to invite other people to hang out with us. And so I went to my team and I said, I want to run this event. We're going to host a bunch of people. We'll pay for pizza. It's basically like a meetup. And they said, okay, great. Yeah. You know, what's the advantage to us? And I said that we meet other people who are doing the thing that we're saying we can make better instead of us reading API docs and reading manuals.
That's
like
right.
we can do a lot with what we see in a Swagger doc, but we really can't take true customer experience and true like field experience. I'll start with you, Mark, because you mentioned, of course, this is sort of a fresh thing for your team. What's got you kind of excited about, you know, what you see as the opportunity for being a part of PlugFest and specifically on the object store and the S3 side, what's coming out of your camp that you want to bring to that room and that discussion?
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting. Like I said, we've been at PlugFest almost a year ago, and everything that Michael said was basically the experience that we got. Right, we got a chance to sit in the room with like-minded people that also has object storage. They have the clients that they use against our object storage S3 implementation. And we get a chance to directly interact with their tests against us. And then if they reach any issues, I can immediately help figure out, okay, what is the issue and help them resolve it, as well as get to learn about their behaviors that are interfacing with Oracle's object storage, right? And so because of that, last year we found, you know, differences due to testing that with different clients, and came back from last year's PlugFest with new features added. And then at this recent online PlugFest that we had, I was able to directly test their same clients and even new clients with this new feature and get immediate feedback from that. So that. These are really great opportunities for us to kind of get our S3 implementation correct and working with multiple different clients.
That's amazing. And Veer, I know that you've, you know, again, you're a full stack kind of kid. So your platform obviously touches a lot of different areas of the physical and virtual stack. So what's your hope that you want to come away with the upcoming PlugFest, and what's been your experience so far?
Yeah, so let me start with why we started with this this whole initiative. We have a certain set of customers who provide object store as a service to the other customers. So they work with multiple vendors, and the most of the time what we have seen is certain set of APIs and certain set of configuration which works with one vendor doesn't work with another, or they have a little different behavior than expected. Right. So we were seeing those issues. What we wanted to do is we were looking for either we do it ourselves, bring multiple solutions and try to test with each other and set the expectations right for the customer, that if you use this, then you will get this kind of behavior. And then we got to know about this PlugFest. We immediately jumped on it. And this time, I think we are like, I tested with around 9 to 10 vendors, and it was fantastic learning. We were able to test with them, and they also tested with our product. We figured out the issues. We immediately raised the concern with the specific people, and we are fixing it and making it more better and stronger and more easy to manage as it was before.
That's lessons of, I always quote Charity Majors on this, as we all test in production. And that's often where we find the stuff out is, you know, we go to the field and we don't have a chance to bring that knowledge back as often as we want, but yet we've got all these R&D teams independently, and like being able to share even among teams in multiple product areas is its own challenge, let alone being able to go out to the community. So having this as a forum to get together is super important. Jason, of course, your org has no shortage of BUs and platforms and products that you're dealing with. So what's got you excited, and what do you see as the biggest impact opportunity that you and DDN can have in this?
Yeah, so I mean, for us, obviously, you know, Infinia is the new kid on the block, and we GA'd about a year ago. And so, you know, this is my third object store. So I did EMC Atmos, I did Dell ECS, and now I'm with DDN. And every time, no matter how much testing you do ahead of time, you know, how much, you know, prep work and trying to follow the documentation you do, inevitably you put it in the customer's hands, right? And they're going to break something. So, you know, getting exposure to as many applications as possible, you know, in the shortest time possible, you know, helps you plug those gaps, because inevitably they exist. A great example for us is that, you know, the key in an S3 object is 1024 bytes of UTF-8. Well, it turns out there are some invalid sequences in UTF-8 that you need to deny, because you can take it in the URL, but when you put it back into XML to put back in the list object response, is also now you have invalid XML. So it's imperative that you filter out these invalid UTF-8 sequences. So that is just, you know, invaluable to us to, you know, get those bugs out of the way before they're found by customers. And then, you know, what we do too then is, you know, all talk together about and share these experiences to help improve the test suites so that, you know, everybody here, you know, can be operating at the same level, because ultimately it's in all of our best interest to have compatibility, right? The storage vendors, we want to have maximum compatibility with other storage vendors just because we want to, you know, grow the ecosystem of, you know, S3 compatible applications. And then the, you know, the client vendors, you know, they want to test against as many, you know, storage systems as possible, because we all do things a tiny bit differently, right? And so we want to make sure that we identify those slight differences and get ahead of those.
And there's definitely those, like you said, those are things that we can't, in our subset, we only have exposure to our current customer base. And it's really tough to go outside of that. And the last thing you want is that interoperability test to come up negative when you're not there to watch. And,
yes.
And all of a sudden, you know, then it becomes, you've got vendor engineering teams who are like, is this our problem? Is it their problem? So being able to do this and not wait for it to be in the wild is kind of huge. Michael, you talked too about being able to store trace data and test data, because I know that's like the IOTA, you know, project has been fantastic for so many people. So what's the piece that you're seeing as what the S3 project, you know, and this particular initiative is going to bring in the very short term, and what's the benefits you've already seen in the field from your folks?
Yeah, excellent. So several things here. So first of all, you know, the main value and benefit that I think Jason and others mentioned is finding bugs before the customer finds them. And it's not just the test results. Obviously, that's the main, you know, entree for the PlugFest. However, I think there's also just the socialization and meeting your peers in the network, in the industry, you know, sitting across the table. So you immediately get your like-minded people, and you're working, you know, together on the same projects. What we do is we talk about themes. Okay, what's the theme for what we're going to focus on? And I think with Mark, you know, a year ago, and Jason just recently, and Veer, was just the ability to compare notes. And I remember the very first PlugFest we had, we were going around the room, and people were sharing, well, we're using out of five options on this one command, we picked number three. And people go, why did you do that? You know, and they go, well, don't you just pick one? You know, and so it's just like a vacuum of industry knowledge. And there's nowhere any of this stuff is documented as far as a common command set with options and just the rapid pace of innovation that AWS is doing. You know, those all combined, we have got to be talking together. And so it's comparing notes and just sharing best practice. And you speak of the trace files. So we are not you know, collecting those traces to be able to create a repository right now. We're not doing that. And the reason for that is we have an NDA. And so all the testing is done under NDA. And that's based on a very long policy for SNIA. And 30 years ago, I was working on Fiber Channel PlugFest. And I was on the board for the FCIA at that time. And so this is a very well orchestrated initiative. You have NDAs in place, and that's just to secure when you find a bug, it's not going to be publicized. We just find bugs, fix them, and move on. And then the final point is we are intending to up-level some of the lessons learned into best practice. And that's what we're going to document. And I'm right now finishing a white paper with our test tools team. So we intend to have white papers, things of that sort. And over time, we will create the test tools. And I do want to speak about some of the developments on AWS side, but that's kind of a summary of you know, what we're doing right now, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think this highlights I'll call it the closed open, the optimal mix, because this is where, when you come in as a participating vendor into the community, we want to have, obviously we want to share as much as we can, but also know we've got the protection. And, you know, when you mentioned about IOTA being fully open, I know for some folks that became a problem, because that means that ultimately you've got to be very careful about what data you put in there. And that makes it, you know, it makes it tough, just because as much as you want to, there's a lot of extra, you know, loopholes you got to work around and sort of steps you got to run through. So it's nice that we can collectively share, you know, data stories and actual field information, but yet still maintain the proprietary side of the world safely. You know, it's so wild that people think that we're all like, you know, like angrily, you know, punching each other in the ear when we see each other in a Starbucks line because we were for competitive companies. It's like, that's not the case at all, you know. And, you know, Mark, you know, given that you've come from a spot where kind of a quiet part of the world, there's an amazing amount of storage that's being doled out, you know, from your camp. And what's been the sort of favorite happy accident you've had as a result of being in these communities where you say, hey, you know, we may have found something that isn't just us. Like, what are the anecdotal side of the world stories that have made this beneficial for you as, you know, an individual as well as a team?
Yeah. So for us, like I said, just talking to different vendors and almost like complaining, right? Like, oh yeah, we ran into this issue, and then seeing the same thing, like, oh, you know, we ran into that same issue, and then they might have a solution that we never thought of, and we collaborate right there. It's been like amazing just sharing the same kind of war stories that we go through.
You can't just do the, like, wait, it worked on my computer. And Veer, same thing. Again, just thinking that we don't necessarily look at like storage being the only or most important part, but when it all comes down to it, all the compute in the world isn't going to do you bugger all good unless we can actually store it more. And as we see more and more AI workloads and the importance of how object storage, and in fact, with the very recent changes that happened in with S3 itself, now being able to mount it as a file system. So that, like, being able to expose those primitives now in a different abstraction, that opens the door now for inevitably all of us to kind of do the same thing. And then if those adoption patterns work in one vendor, then now we can share that, because that's the other thing, is we don't know if that's actually a pattern that people will go for. And so you talked about kind of your customers and other customers. You know, what are the stories that you've captured because you were able to talk to somebody else's engineering teams about this stuff?
Right. So the major thing which I remember a story vaguely, in 2020, AWS changed from signature V2 to signature V4, and they updated the SDKs, and all the clients which were using those SDKs suddenly stopped working with third S3 compatible storages. Now, if we had a certain set of tools, which is common across all the vendors, which Michael is talking about, if we have that kind of tool, we could catch those issues quickly. And fact of the matter, at the time, we just had the release, and we had to release a dot release again to fix that issue immediately. Yeah, so that is one kind of thing. Another thing which we are looking at, given the AWS release, the file compatibility, like our solution already had the file compatibility from last 3-4 years. But if we had shared this information with other vendors, and like if we have collaborated more, if we had that platform to do that, other vendors would have come up, and we would have come up with that solution way sooner than what we are seeing today. So similarly, it's going for S3 vectors and any of the new features which is coming in. So it's not necessarily that AWS also can drive things first. We all can come together and bring things and make it more standardized, and maybe AWS can adopt from us.
And it's so funny coming back for, like, I'm like an old school OpenStack kid. So I remembered even in the early days with that community, and Randy Bison particularly, who really wanted to fight for, like, let's have broad cross compatibility. And there was a big project around getting S3 as kind of a standard bearer inside the OpenStack in the Swift ecosystem. And it was a real tough battle because we were sort of really adamant that it had to be entirely open source, like from bottom to top. And that created a bit of a blocker that we couldn't adapt to what would obviously become a fairly broadly adopted standard by customers just by volume. And now, of course, you know, the workloads that are consuming this stuff are fundamentally different than they were even 2 years ago, because now object is the new hotness. We thought that everything was going to be the traditional, you know, journaled file system, and it's going to be, that's where everything is going to live. But now, seeing how the AI workloads are fundamentally changing the consumption pattern, And Jason, obviously, that you're working on a particular platform in the org that's really targeting that exact use case. So what are you seeing in the AI is now the consumer, not the deliverer of the service?
Yeah, I mean, when AI is consuming data, there's a lot of different changes we're seeing. One is just simply the volume, right? We're not talking about, you know, where it used to be a petabyte of data was huge. I mean, these AI training workloads literally have hundreds of petabytes of data in them. And so that really presents a challenge for a file system to store that many objects and that volume of data successfully and make sense out of it at the end of the day. So that's kind of the training side, but then also now we're seeing the inferencing side pick up. I mean, over the past, 6 months here, we've really seen that inflection point where, you know, the training is now starting to, or the inferencing side using the AI now is starting to surpass the training side of things. And that's a fundamentally different workload now, because now you're talking about fine-grained key value pairs that are being cached inside the layers of the AI. And so it requires an even slightly different access pattern than to be to handle those small fine-grained objects that are going to have, you know, a random identifier of a GUID. And that's something that's definitely extremely hard for a file system to take care of. Because you're talking about billions of these small fine-grained objects.
So, well, and also I think this opens up the next level of innovation, because now as we set this as the sort of a fixed abstraction and we agree that these are the primitives and these are what we're going to expose and everybody has figured it out and we've actively done this, now when people want to start tackling key value store cache acceleration and working with metadata optimization and acceleration, now we know we're built on a foundation that we can consistently rely is going to be there. And this is where that sort of standards-driven approach is pretty amazing. And the funny thing is we've almost accidentally arrived at it. Like, obviously, we're all having the same customers or common customer patterns. So it's not like we're just, like, making up, you know, object storage as we go. But as you talked about, like, we've now converged where, you know, we call it the S3 object standard, because that's kind of become the de facto phrasing of it. You know, same reason, like, these are, I call these Kleenexes, but they're maybe facial tissues if you were to really get deep on the naming convention. So, Michael, what do you see for, what do you want to see more Yes. of in this community?
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, so we are eager to work with AWS. We see that this whole activity is compatible, but also complementary to what AWS is doing. Just over the last year, AWS has announced quite significantly new energy around interoperability. And at the last reInvent, there were several presentations on that touched on it. But even more significant than that was they released a set of tools. The first one is a Smithy tool, and that's IDL, a interface definition language. And that covers not just S3, but it's the entire AWS suite of services. And the second tool is the API modeling tool. And those two combined with some of their nested other tools for auto code generation, you're able to actually develop your own SDKs. And the beauty of that is that AWS themselves have been using those tools for quite some time. I don't know if it's 10 years, but it's very a significant amount of years. So what we're eager to do is engage with AWS and of course, all of their partners and be a part of this activity. So I think the key point here is that SNIA has been doing this for over 20 years as an example with Microsoft. So Microsoft has their SMB protocol, and it's proprietary. They own every aspect of code generation and roadmap. However, they've been working with SNIA with PlugFest for over 20 years. I think it's on the order of 28 years. It's in that ballpark. So SNIA has a track record. And as far as facilitating, hosting, and guiding this kind of PlugFest activity, that's really what we want to accomplish. And again, it's to work directly with AWS, be part of the ecosystem that will find the bugs before customers find it. And we work with under NDA that we described before. So this is not trying to control things or anything like that. It's much more to just allow the developers and the community to do their work, but then have timely communications with the source of truth, which in this case is S3. I have to congratulate and thank AWS for releasing those tools. And so we have a lot of plans, more time to talk. So Eric, we may have another podcast on the test tool side, but that's a glimpse of where we're headed. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is the fun of being able to, like, now the pace of innovation in the world is kind of moving really fast, and it's hard to tell which is the dog and which is the tail. We've got stuff that's moving around compute and memory that, you know, everybody's like, well, this is like the current bottleneck. And like, well, underneath, I'm not sure if you're familiar where the memory ends up eventually. It goes down a disk, you know, and we're going to solve problems that are currently hardware problems with software accessing storage. Like, I think my prediction is that we'll see much, much more kind of that tier two inference, that we can move more of it down into the storage layer, take advantage of, you know, high speed storage and treat it as memory. We're seeing more stuff around with Mempalace and these exciting new open source projects that are coming up. And they're all going to leverage this common underlay, team underlay. All right. Like, it all ends on metal eventually. And that's the cool thing. And we all have different metal, but we all access that metal in a common way so that we know we can innovate on it. So Veer, what's your thing that you want to see and what do you want to bring from your team and what do you hope to bring to that PlugFest?
Right. So we are thinking to collaborate on these testing tools. So given that nowadays we have agents who upgrade the software in clients very quickly. So as soon as AWS releases something, it immediately gets updated into the application and it start breaking our stuff very quickly, right? Because these release cycles are getting become smaller every now and then because of the code generation and whatnot. So what we would like to see is if we can get the collaborations going more frequently, then what we can do is we can find those issues very quickly with these test tools. We can navigate those unknown. Sometimes what happens is it's not just the bug, it's just the API also changes. So the behavior of the API changes, right? And sometimes it's not just the API, it's just the restrictions inside the API which has changed. Like Jason described about the characters used in the object name. Similarly, we have metadata where size in AWS could be only 2 KBs. And for some customers, we might have allowed bigger than 2 KB. And now customer is moving from one vendor to another and they see that their metadata is getting lost without them even knowing, right? So if we can get ahead of all these issues, then that's the best thing we are looking for. So if we have this common test which validates what works and what doesn't work with each vendor, that also helps the customer to navigate their migrations and interoperability expectations.
Didn't Bill Gates tell us that 640K was going to be enough? I've been told this. Apparently, we blasted past that one. Mark, what do you see as your internal goals and your external goals for this PlugFest?
Yeah, so I'm excited to see more companies join PlugFest. More of a selfish thing, right? I want to get more clients testing against ours. Our big thing is we have so many different customers that use S3, and they're on so many different clients, and testing it in-house is just not feasible. So having this PlugFest where we can actually leverage that and test against it is really useful. The other thing is that we're looking possibly from the test tools twig, some kind of reference implementation of S3 that we can use against and say, hey, this S3 reference implementation works with Oracle and gives some kind of high confidence for us that most clients will be able to work with our S3 implementation.
I love it. I love it. And Jason, I'll say somebody who clearly is the fourth time around here, you've forgotten more about object storage than I'm ever going to know. Beyond the storage, though, what does the collaboration across the other twigs help you, like thinking about the security integration, all the other, like, because we're focusing on this as like a purely, you know, what is the right S3 abstraction? What are the right, you know, ways in which we can manage those resources? But then that ultimately goes to Swordfish and Redfish, and it goes out to the security twigs. And because we have different teams that don't necessarily sit beside each other. And we often find out right before something's going live, like, oh, make sure you run that past the security team and make sure that it's cool runnings. So, you know, you probably have had some interesting experience over the years of it's not just the storage that's going to matter when we bring this to production.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. If you look at AWS, they, you know, a lot of their services are very tightly coupled, especially when you think about IAM and STS and how that moves off into EC2 and things. And so really, like, IAM is just this really complicated beast, right? And so, and you know, obviously, as storage vendors, it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to implement the entire surface area of IAM. But, you know, having that insight into what parts are really important so that, you know, we can, you know, ensure what we're doing is secure. And again, doing it in an interoperable way between us to keep, you know, to keep the load off of the, you know, software vendors to make sure that they're doing things in the same way that's going to work, you know, evenly across a lot of applications is really important.
Yeah. And, you know, even despite we being told that it's another AGI has been discovered and where the countdown is on, we've got, I think it's 12 months or maybe it's 18 months until we're of a job, but it's just that kind of keeps resetting every week. So I feel okay. So when all that is going on, the plug fest and that technical community is where we're going to see, I think, the most good work that happens for all of us. And plus, we get a chance to learn at how other people are doing things and bring those concepts back into our own internal teams. And that's what I really think is the best opportunity, because instead of us all accidentally arriving at the same outcome, you know, within some variation, it's so much easier to be collaborating in advance and then kind of running to the finish line together, arm in arm, instead of, you know, hey, look, we're all trying to get to the finish line as a business, but we also are doing it in a way that supports each other, because no one's going to be alone in a customer environment. So we have to build and engineer accordingly. So, Michael, let's drop some details then for folks on how do they get involved and what is the next best thing that we can point them towards on the SNIA website to make sure they can get the information they need.
Excellent. So, Eric, we're going to share those links in the when you publish the podcast. It'll be in the description. But there's several things. One is the Cloud Storage Technologies community. That's the CST. That's where we do all the planning, but it's for the educational plug fest and the test tools. So we plan all of that. We also do another standard called CDMI, and I think you've had a podcast on that. So that's a fourth item. I should have mentioned that. But I think the links will provide access to the CST. In addition to the PlugFest, that's where you can register. And we have one, so 2 weeks from right now, today, we will be meeting virtually in May 4th, 5th, 6th. And so that one's coming up soon. And we have our third online for this year in July. So you can sign up for those. And then the in-person will be at SDC. As soon as the SDC registration comes up, then we'll provide details on how to register there. So we've really upped our cadence and work. I will also put a link to the test tools twig, and that's technical work group. And so that's a way to join that activity that thank you, Veer, and others that you mentioned that. So I think those are plenty of ways to get involved, and there's a huge amount happening. Yesterday we had a call to come up with the agenda for May, and it's more work than we can do in those 3 days. So this is something that's ongoing. It's going to take us, a while to develop those tools. And a lot of the tools are synergistic with the PlugFest. So what we intend is the PlugFest is our is where we do experimentation. So there's new tools that we're going to be bringing in. There's a new tool from Brazil. We're hoping to contact them. And then, of course, the Smithy tools. So those are all the things. And it'll be somewhat experimental. And then over time, that will generate the test tools that Veer talked about.
You had me at experimental. It's no fun if, like, Chuck Yeager wouldn't be as exciting if somebody got in the plane before him, right? That's the whole fun of this thing. Is any storage you walk away from is a good storage, I guess, would be the good equivalent on that one. So for folks that want to get connected to this amazing team, outside of SNIA or in SNIA, Mark, what's the best way that folks can catch up with you IRL or online somewhere?
Yeah, definitely. My LinkedIn profile, you can contact me or you can contact me through email, just my name, Mark Dutrin at Oracle as well. You can get access to me anytime.
Fantastic. And Veer, where do we find you in your world?
Yeah, same. LinkedIn, you can search my name, you'll find it. And email address, v.kumar@nutanix.com. Happy to help if someone wants to know how they can get benefited with it and they want to join.
And of course, there'll be lots of SDC goodness, both, the virtuals and in-person opportunities. So that's going to be great. Looking forward, hopefully, to being at SDC and seeing all this stuff in real life. It's so much nicer. And Jason, for folks that want to catch up with you beyond the episode, where do we go?
Yeah, LinkedIn's definitely the best place to find me. So there's only a couple Jason Swicks around. So at Jason Swick on, I think, Jason-Swick at LinkedIn. So
you all have great names. I got the most generic name under the world's, description. That's the reason I have to put Disco Posse everywhere, because unfortunately Eazy-E has my name. So once, I haven't got a hope of, if you search for Eric Wright, I'm like, you aren't going to find me, but you look for Disco Posse and guaranteed I'm the only one of those ones. And Michael, of course, being inside SNIA is the best place to find you, but how do we make sure we do that?
Yeah, LinkedIn is great. And then you also can go to the pages that I referred to, and there's contact information on the pages.
That's right. We got lots of cool profiles. So yeah, I can encourage people to go check out the site. We've got a lot of great content. There's other fantastic podcasts we've had with some of these amazing humans and many more, and lots of other good learning resources. Absolutely. My thing I recommend anybody is just look at the learning that's there. And what you often find is that as soon as it's like LinkedIn in real life, like when we get there and we realize we're a peer to each other and we've all got history together, we really can be so much more connected in a way that we don't think of when we're just in the office. And this is so different than just like, I love going to events. It's great to have the hallway track. Yep. But what's even better is when you can do like active collaboration and the hallway track. That's like, it is just doubly awesome. So I'll definitely refer people. So head on over to SNIA.org. And for all the folks at AWS, if you're watching this, this is for you, Andy, and all the crew. Get on in. We need some more reps from the big shop. But anybody else too that wants to get involved with membership, obviously just head to SNIA.org. And there's nothing but goodness there. So thank you all for that. And we'll see you at the next PlugFest.
Great. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.